Well, I'd like us to pray again here. This is going to be, as Christmas messages go, perhaps a little intense. So let's pray again. God, we thank you. Thank you so much that you are a communicator. I may not be, but you are. God, I thank you that you want to talk this morning. You want to be heard today. And I just ask you to use my simple words here to express yourself to every person here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when Tim and I were discussing this series, I think the thing that came to us is we wanted to focus on the preeminence of Christ. Just the preeminence of Christ. We thought of 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul said, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be undermined, should not be made void. In other words, sometimes a fancy oratory or just a wonderful facility can overshadow the cause that we're gathered for. And may God give us great teachers and great facilities. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we don't want it to overshadow Christ. And Tim, as Tim said last week, he wanted to elevate Christ in our thinking. And I want to ask you today, do you know him? Do you know him? You may say, well, I prayed a prayer. Well, that's good. And do you know him now? Do you know him? Tim talked about the glory of his throne from Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 40. And of Isaiah's awe in his presence. Do you know him that way? In Isaiah 6, it says, all the creatures around him are saying, holy, holy, holy. Do you know him as holy? Are you just a little bit ashamed of some of the unholiness in your own life? Or ashamed of the unholiness in the world around you? When you prayed that prayer, did you repent? Did you turn around from a lifestyle of selfish ambition and independence? Did you turn? And did you turn to a life, a brand new life of increasing holiness? That's also what repentance means. It means to turn around. It means to change your mind about God and change your mind about you. But it means also to turn around in your life. And where are you going to go after you've turned around? Do you know him? You know, we would all cringe to think of a man and a woman that come to the altar and get married, and thereafter the sum total of their relationship is, see, we're married. I got the ring. And the picture I'm trying to display is that would be the same as saying, yeah, I prayed a prayer, I received Christ, and that's it. No other relationship. He came so that you would be reconciled to him and be able to walk with him. And so I want to give us a simple little message this morning. Do you know him? Read the word. Let's look at a verse first here in John chapter 1. In fact, it's the very first verse. We'll read a few verses here. Jesus was born to be known. He came to be known. I want to focus on a simple way of starting to know him, which is to read the Word. This is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's kind of confusing. The word Word here is the word Word in Greek, and it means expression. It means a communication, an oracle, a way of expressing himself. And so what it's saying is that in the beginning, there was this expression of God, this was a great desire of God to express himself. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we get the idea he's talking about more than just an idea. This wasn't just a concept floating around, because the very next thing he says, he, the Word, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. I think you've guessed who we're talking about. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. You know, our little shirts that we wear. I don't know if it's on our newest shirt, but we have this logo thing on our little church cards that says Abundant Life. That's in Him. But if you don't let Him express Himself to you, you'll miss it. And we don't want us to miss this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overpower it. And then we drop down to verse 14, and we really get it. This is the Christmas message. The Word, the expression of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory of the only. This is what John said. We saw it. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want us to hold on to that thought a little bit. I want to go to another passage in Hebrews. Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, was written maybe 20, 30 years after Pentecost. And by that time, you know, there weren't maybe miracles happening day after day. And things had sort of waned. The zeal had waned. I mean, they honestly thought Jesus was going to come back for the second time before then. But the point is that they were beginning to wane, and so this letter was written. Here's what it says right at the very beginning, first few verses. God, after He spoke, God wants to speak to us. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways. Sometimes He would speak through a dream. Sometimes He would speak through one prophet, then another prophet, then another prophet, and they all spoke at various times, developing this storyline of God. After He spoke in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. How could He not be? He's God. The point that I'm drawing out of this little passage, though, is that God is trying to speak. He always wants to speak to us. And that's where life is having Him speak to us. And I don't want us to miss this. The night Jesus was betrayed, He was with His disciples. It must have been a fantastic meeting time. Jesus was all excited to be with His disciples one last time. And He had a lot to tell them, to try to explain to them what was going to happen, because He knew He was leaving. He was going to ascend. And they needed to know what to expect. So in John 16, this is what He told them. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When the disciples were with Him, if they had a question, they had to go ask Him. Jesus restricted Himself for the most part to 12 close companions, but sometimes that was too big of a crowd. He had to just take Peter, James, and John. And then there were some times when He was alone with just Peter. There were limitations to His ability to communicate when He was in the body. And so God had this plan that the Helper, and let's read the verse 13 there, but when He, the Spirit, now He's talking about the Holy Spirit is the Helper, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. God wants to communicate by the Spirit. Those of us who have had the tremendous privilege of repenting and trusting in Christ have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And I want to carry that thought on a little bit farther. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is describing great mysteries that weren't known before the church age, but which were becoming known during the church age. And this is what he said, for to us, God revealed them, these great mysteries, God revealed them through the Helper, the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. How will you know them? Academically? No. We will know them when His Spirit communicates to our spirit, and for that, we need to read the Word. You might think you know what God is thinking, but you don't. Not to its fullest extent. Just count on it. You haven't arrived yet. God is infinite. He has something that you don't think quite rightly about, even if it's only that today's a new day. I read Psalm 130 this morning, same old Psalm 130. But I'm a year older, or half a year older or so, since the last time I read it, and it's more meaningful. It hit me freshly. Out of the depths I have called to you, O Lord. And I said, yeah, God, that's really true. You've brought me through some real depths. We need to hear from Him daily. The quality of your eternal life is measured in your experience of the character of God within you. And we gain that experience as we read the Word and apply it. Tim last week looked at a passage in Isaiah 40, so I thought, well, I'll do one better. I'll read a whole chapter. This is Isaiah 55. Ho! It means exclamation point. I have something I really want to tell you, he says. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Huh? Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. What's he talking about? Why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Here it is. Listen! That's it. That's what you can get without buying. You can listen. That is what you need until God touches your spirit. You're not living, man. You're just going through motions. You're just subsisting. Let Him speak. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. God has no limits. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now, He's already done that for us if we're in Christ. According to the faithful mercies shown to David, behold, I've made him a witness to the peoples. What was David a witness of? He was a witness of the faithfulness of God. He was a witness to God coming through for him when he stood before Goliath. He made David a witness, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you'll call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for He's glorified you. God wants to so equip your life, so satisfy your soul, so give you peace, so give you sufficiency for every trial in life that people will look at you and say, I want that. I want what He has. That happened to many of us. It happened to me 40 years ago. I saw some kids on campus. I thought, they got it. Whatever it is, they got it. I want to find out what that is. So that's what happens when we listen to Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And He'll have compassion on him. And to your God, our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. God knows how to abundantly pardon. We don't. Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow, now watch this, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be. But if you're not reading it, you might as well just throw chapter 55 out. How can God communicate with you if you're not taking the word in when He says, it's my word that is going to accomplish these things. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. They're so happy with you, before you, are happy for you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will grow up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it'll be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign, which will not be cut out. Read the word. Read it in the morning. Find spots in the day to reread something you read earlier or read something new in it. Read when you first come into your house. Read just before you sit down to eat or at the table when you eat. Read just before bed or read it instead of something else that you would read. But read the word. Read it. Read the Psalms. Read the Proverbs. Read a chapter at a time. Read 10 verses at a time. I've told you before, our younger daughter for years read 10 verses a day and wrote one of them down. She didn't even know what she was doing. Read the word. Read it at the table. Read it to your roommate. Read it to your spouse. Read it to your children. Read it to your grandchildren. Read it out loud. Read it silently, but read the word. Read the word. Read it to find out what God loves. Read it to find out what he hates. Read it to find out what he's done in the past, and read it to find out what he's going to do in the future. Read it to find out his promises, and read it to find out his warnings. Read it to find his comfort, and read it to find his challenges. Read it when you're happy. Read it when you're sad. You need guidance. Read it to get to know some of the people you're going to spend eternity with, and maybe to identify with some of the things that they went through. But read the word. Read it. Read it to find out how much of a servant God is. And read it until you're ashamed of how little of a servant you are. And read it until you think being a servant is normal. Keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading it until what is normal moves from what you think is normal to what he says is normal. But read the word. You know, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you're not with him a lot, you probably will not become a faith-driven person, because faith comes from hearing. And if the alternative to being a faith-driven person, if you're a churchgoer, is to become a form follower, a principle-driven person. And that might look good on the outside, but it's pretty empty. God wants to communicate with you. You'll be a sheep just doing what you see the next sheep doing. But God wants you to know the shepherd. And you do that in reading the word. God called you to eternal life, and Jesus defined that as knowing him. This is eternal life, John 17 says, to know him. And the point of all this is God's purpose for saving you is that you might be fully in relationship with him. Fully. He didn't want any holds barred. God has sought in every way. He has sought in every way to establish a relationship with you. And in order to do it, you must read the word. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. Please. Don't miss this. It's too rich a life. This doesn't happen all the time for me, but many times I'll wake up and I'll just be thinking about something that he has communicated. And it's sweet. I am nothing special. You have the mind of Christ, meaning that you have the basic structure to be able to think like him, largely from having the Holy Spirit. But if you do not sow to the Spirit, if you do not put your selfish desires down underneath in second place, you will not experience Christ. You will not experience abiding with Christ. You will not experience what it is to know Christ and his comfort and peace and power in your life. Read the word. There are two antagonists for reading the word. The first is idolatry, and the second is a lack of discipline. In the first case, Something else is in the spot of knowing Jesus. Somehow, we become convinced that knowing Jesus is a secondary hobby rather than a pursuit of our life. Let me illustrate this. If you spent no more time in fantasy football than you did reading the Word, how rich would your enjoyment of playing fantasy football be? Or the other way around, if you spent as much time in the Word as you did making your fantasy picks and your trades, don't you think that the Holy Spirit would communicate some things to you that are very useful to your spirit? I think so. He's a relationship. It takes time. If you spent no more time watching football than you did in the Word of God, how familiar would you be with the team's players and coaches? For some of us, it wouldn't make any difference. I see Val there. How rich would your experience be in the world of football? If you spent no more time playing video games, did you hear me? Video games, than you did reading the Word of God, how would it affect your enjoyment of playing the games? I can answer that one. Because Tim told me a long time ago, Bob, don't even start. He knew I was so far behind that I would never be able to catch up to even understand what's going on. It takes time. And I guarantee you, if you did not take much time, you would not know how. You'd be like me. Yeah, I don't get it. Huh? The analogy is pretty clear. If you spent no more time watching movies or shows or reading other books than you did reading the Word, would they hold your interest? Can you imagine watching a movie 5 minutes at a time, 3 days a week? I don't think it would work. Can you think of how upsetting that would be to your getting into the plot? Pretty clear, isn't it? And yet somehow we think that if we open this book a few times a week, that something magical is going to happen. It's a relationship. Relationships don't go that way. Hi, see ya. That's nothing. That is not a relationship. Wait a minute, this is the Word of God. This is the expression of God. This is the eternal being that you can be benefited by. And He wants to communicate. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Read the Word. And the second antagonism to reading the Word is just a lack of discipline. We don't read the Word because we don't feel like it. That settles it, I guess. We wake up and we take our spiritual pulse and think, I'm good. I don't think I need to today. We're foolish to do that. We're really foolish to do that. God is the most infinite being in the universe, and we don't think we can gain from drawing near a little bit. It's crazy. We've missed the point of being created. We're made to know Him. That's why He made us. And you have to read the Word if that is going to happen. We let our feelings dictate our relationship with God, and we don't push ourselves. We think we'd be hypocritical to push ourselves to read the Word because we want to read the Word when we want to read the Word. When I really feel like it, that's when I want to read the Word. That's just either poor understanding of what it is to live in a fallen body or a reluctance to change. We have this treasure of the life in Christ in an earthen vessel. Just accept it. The body is not going to like doing the things it should do. You know, Tim and I are just ordinary people, or at least I am, just an ordinary person who have allowed the face and the desires of God to come near us. That's all. We have disciplined ourselves to make our bodies do what they should do, which is to read the Word. Did you get that part? Read the Word. if there is anything in our lives that you would find exemplary, we would give Christ credit for, because that's where we got it. What you see is the Word of God in action, and we're just serving you with what He's given us. That's all we're doing. The reason I'm a pastor, the reason I'm still married after 32 years and 3 days, the reason I love my children and my children love me is because of the Word of God. I have simply desired to put it into practice to know Him. And that's the fruit. That's the fruit. But you can't get the fruit without planting the seed. You need to read the Word. Church was never meant to be a parade of the gifted versus the ungifted, of the accomplished versus the unaccomplished. We are ordinary men, ordinary people. Leaders are ordinary people who are servants. That's all. Ordinary people who are servants. And we would want each of us to be that, a servant to one another. The simplicity of the Christmas message is Christ for you and Christ in you and Christ abiding with you. And if you want that, read the Word. You have to. You have to read the Word. You know, I wish this church was bursting at the doors with gifted people, musicians and teachers and administrators and people with compassion that just rolls out of them. I wish it was filled with people like that. But you know what I wish was more true? Ordinary people who have given themselves to the Word of God until they say, like Mary, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, do it through me." So much rather I would have that. So much rather. There are many movements of God that have gifted people, and the crowd swells, and then the bottom falls out because you find out it wasn't really real in that person's life. Those leaders were flowery, and they were gifted, but they did not submit themselves to the constant training and washing of the Word of God, and they flaked off. That's horrible. The natural world was given to us in part to picture the spiritual world. Some of us eat 3 times a day just to maintain life. If you spent as much time reading the Word as you do preparing, eating, and cleaning up after your meals, you'd probably know Him better. That's all I'm saying. Just saying. That's a vow. Just saying. Read the Word. Read it to know Him. The writers of the New Testament agree about this, that the true knowledge of God is something that happens in the intimacy of your spirit, usually when going through things that are beyond your capability. Peter writes in the first letter all about unjust suffering. The church at that time was undergoing a lot of persecution from Rome, and a lot of believers were going through a lot of suffering. And Peter writes them concerning this and talks about entrusting themselves to God just like Jesus did. And then he ends the letter with saying that this is the true grace of God. What is? Letting Him be your sufficiency and going through things that are way beyond you. I kind of feel like every day is that way. This is the true grace of God. Don't miss it. You're not going to find it any other way than to read the Word. Remember what he said in the first part of the letter? 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the expression of God. Let Him talk daily, regularly. Talk, communicate, let Him talk to you. Give yourselves a Christmas present this Christmas. Determine to read the Word. Now, I know that reading the Word will not make you grow up. You have to obey. I know. But I wanted to focus on first reading the Word this morning. Because until the Holy Spirit has enough of you to motivate your obedience, you will make obedience to him a burden rather than a joy. You sow to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will cause you to think differently. Tim was sharing some of those attitudes earlier this morning. Those are not fallen people attitudes. Fallen people attitudes are to pick up the 20 and stick it in your pocket. That's a fallen attitude. If we're in the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit can impress us with what is on his heart, and it becomes a joy to do instead of a burden. God wants you to be happy this Christmas. It's real simple. You want to know him? Read the Word more than ever this next year. Read it until you are moved with compassion, generosity, and justice. If indeed you do not know him here this morning, you are missing out on life. And you are walking through a purposeless darkness to a horrible end and a worse eternity. Repent. Do it today. Turn around from your selfish, sinful way of life and find this cross, this Christ on the cross that we've been elevating these 3 weeks. He'll take you in. Catch one of us if that's unclear. But do it, please, please. But a lot of us here have come to know him. And I just don't want for you to miss out. I don't want you to point at the ring saying, yeah, I prayed the prayer. Yeah, I'm good. Don't miss the rich purpose for coming to know him, which is to abide with him and to find his sufficiency in every day. I don't know about you. I think for me, it's fairly easy to understand. I'm just an ordinary person. And for me, most days are fearful. Most days I feel inadequate. Most days. Maybe that's what drives me to find out what God wants to do, what he thinks about, what he cares about. But I'm trying to refer in this little segment to his sufficiency. I work with some construction type things, and I'm not real good at it, but I'll tell you this, I have prayed daily for him to have me in the right place at the right time, or teach me something, or just arrange the work that I'm working on, and I see on a regular basis, God! And it's not just that they got the job done, but that we did it together. Our relationship is growing. That kind of thing. Okay. Your assignment will be to ask God how you can read the Word more. That's your assignment. What can you cut out in order to read the Word? Is it a movie? A football game? Can you read the Word first and then do something later if there's time? Instead of going the other way around, I'll read the Word if there's time. How can you do that? With whom could you read the Word out loud? What new pursuits could you have in reading the Word? You know, maybe you want to, Tim talked about the greatness of God there from Isaiah 40. Maybe you want to study that out. Maybe you want to study out his compassion. One of the reasons early on that I read the Word a lot is I wanted to see how God interacted with people, what he cares about. And over a period of a couple of years, I became totally convinced that God cares about suffering and about the poor. And it changed my heart, changed my life. Search out something like that. Maybe you should study his greatness. That'd rock your world. To study his infiniteness. His ability to meet your needs. Please give it some consideration. It's simple. Jesus was the flesh and blood incarnation of the nature of God because he was God. But the Word of God spans the ages. And we got it better than anybody before. We have it better than the Jewish nation. We have it better than Adam and Eve. They didn't have the Holy Spirit within them. They had to wait till God would come and walk with them. we should really be a people known by the touch of God on our hearts. You can't, if you don't read the word, you can't. This is his expression. Okay, so it's real simple. We have the revelation of God at our fingertips. Anytime, give yourself a simple Christmas gift this Christmas. Read the word. Read the word. And I don't want anybody to say this morning, I'm not sure what he talked about. Here's what he talked about. Read the word. You get that? Read the word. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are the knowable God, the knowable personal God. What an amazing thing. I ask you, God, we all know what it's like. We're going to go home. We're going to go away. In fact, we probably came here thinking I'm going to listen to this message and then I'm going to get on to my day, because we never remember a message. God, I ask you, when we get home, when we think about our weeks, help us to put this in our soul that we can't know you if we don't give you first place in our mind and in our soul, in our spirit. So I ask you to help us sort these things out practically, each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.